This is the best of Jim, Matt, and Molly on 100.5 ESPN and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
But this is Bears-Packers. This is at Lambeau Field.
You got to keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Love loading up, going deep, down the field, has a man, it's caught! Touchdown, Bo Melton!
The Bears are in first place with the number one seed.
Play fake, Williams looking, throwing, it is caught!
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.
This game carries a lot of meaning outside of the rivalry.
I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
I mean, it's Packers-Bears. It's a great rivalry.
Love on a play fake. Quick throw. Watson with the speed. Uh-oh! Christian Watson in a foot race, and he's going to win it! Touchdown, Green Bay!
So let's go win it. You know what I mean? This is all we got right here.
Third and goal. It is Jacobs plowing up the middle. Josh Jacobs is in. Touchdown, Packers.
They have a defense that closes up shop.
Williams looking, throwing. It is intercepted. Keyshawn Nixon and the Packers will win it.
I am not afraid of my feelings. This will sting. If the Bears lose this game, it will sting. I'm not going to hedge. I'm not going to pretend I don't care. It will sting.
We'll have the Blues on the run.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison.
Pull out the barrel.
Let's go down.
3, 2, 1.
It's a Molly Victory Monday.
You know the words. Victory Molly Monday, and I hate this song so much. I'm sorry,
so
Matt.
Good.
I hate this song. Those audio clips that you heard were Matt dancing to Roll Out the Barrel last night at the Packers-Bears game at Lambeau Field as we all went as a show. And this is Jim, Matt, and Molly, represented by Coors Light. Guys, if the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's Crush a Coors Light.
Stop 844-770-3776. That's Carbless Talk and Text Line. Liz is more. That's your way into today's show. You can see us on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream, which you're going to want to look at.
Tune into.
Which Jim is hiding right now. So, yeah. Jim, if you would like to sneak your way into the camera, where are you going? Sit in your normal spot.
Yeah, Jim,
Ryan,
you never
put it in the normal spot.
More he's attractive to me in your entire life.
Oh, well, then there we go. If Matt Hamilton finds me attractive.
Yeah. Oh, my God. It looks worse on camera.
Molly's been mean to me all day.
Savage. It looks like Shrek had an infection. you know when there's like, never mind, that's too descriptive. Yeah. I'm not doing that.
Pus?
Yes.
Can't say the word pus?
I don't know. I don't know what I can say. I'm not just felt dirty.
Pus.
So it's Shrek.
What's the verb of pus?
No.
not playing that game.
Ryan, what were you going to say?
Nothing. I wasn't going to say anything, guys. Guys, everyone appreciate how good Molly did painting Jim's face because Matt couldn't be here in time for the glorious experience.
I know.
I did do really well.
I do feel like I missed out. And honestly, I was thinking about it.
You were thinking about painting my face?
Yeah, I was.
All weekend, baby.
At least after the win, all last night, for sure.
He couldn't go to sleep.
But I imagined doing it the same way you did. Yeah, like you did 10. I was going to write love, but I was going to do it.
Oh, that would have been good. We can change right the... The 1 and the 0 to like an L.
No, I think you did a great job. This is perfect. You look great, Jim.
It's okay. Yeah. In 12 days, when the Packers beat the Bears again at Soldier Field, Matt can have the opportunity to paint your face again.
If we make the same bet, well, there might be something.
We'll make the same bet because I'm excited to paint your faces.
Okay.
Double.
Bet you are.
After attending last night's game with you guys, which was very fun. Shout out to our friends at Miller Lite. I do declare 3 things. All right.
I do declare
3 things. First off, the Chicago Bears are a good football team. Like, I know we all don't want to admit that, but that was a great game. Now, granted, it could have been 21-3 at one point in time, but they're a pretty good football team. Like, I think that the Packers are a bit better still, but they're still right up there that it's like, this is going to be fun for years to come. As long as Caleb Williams and Jordan Love continue to progress the way that they are. It's going to be a great rivalry.
Number one.
No arguments for me on that.
That was number one.
Number two.
Number two.
Like Dr. Evil. Number two.
Number two.
Two. Jim sucks to go to a Packers-Bears game with. Like, I have gone to plenty of games with Jim at this point in time. Even this season, we went to a Bears game, and I didn't mind. Didn't mind being there with you for the Vikings game, because I hate the Vikings, I hate the Bears, so it was like, whatever, this is a wash for me. I just get to enjoy some good football, right? Not really that great football earlier this year, but you didn't. You've never bothered me before at games, and we've been to a Packers game together. We went to the Packers-Vikings game a couple years ago. The way that, like, when the Bears would do something good, that Jim would just, like, randomly, because we were in, like, a standing room only kind of situation, right? Jim would just kind of, like, squeegee his way up by me and be like, oh, did you see that play? That was a really good play. See how Caleb Williams did that?
There.
Just, like, in my ear about, like, the Bears stuff, and I'm just like, literally, don't talk to me.
That's
so there
question.
Was a point in time where I went, because I had to look over people's shoulders, because we got into the game late, because that's coming next, but... I had to, like, look over people's shoulders in order to see the field. And so then I had, like, a good spot close by Jim. But then if I went over, like, 10 feet to the left, there was another good spot. So whenever Jim would bother me, I would just go to the other spot. I was like, all right, I literally don't want to hear anything that you have to say about the Chicago Bears or the Green Bay Packers right now. So I'm leaving. We are not on a radio show. I am not forced to stay in a room with you right now. That's how I felt. Do you have anything against
that? She's like, yeah, I enjoyed the game with both of you. I'm just curious, like, I know I did some things that embarrassed her as well. And then you did some things that annoyed her. I was just, who would you go, if you had one ticket and me and Jim were both available for Sunday, who are you inviting to the game?
Well, is it Bears-Packers again?
Yeah.
Well, See, that leads me.
Because you had mentioned, you know, at a Bear game,
no, you know,
he was
that
miserable.
Leads me. That leads me perfectly into my number three point. Okay,
that's your number three.
Do you have a number three, Ryan?
We have number three.
Number three.
Number three.
Matt, don't get offended.
No, I won't.
But you are, I've come to the realization that you are not actually a fan. You are just literally a vibes guy.
What?
Like, no. Hold on. Here's why.
You can be both.
No, but I don't think you can. Okay, so let's go back to a couple weeks ago when we went to the Illinois Badgers game at Camp Randall. What were the things you were most excited about from that game?
The band.
The marching band and the suite, okay? You were excited about
the food
at the
suite.
The suite. Okay, that one came.
First and ten, Wisconsin.
You were jazzed.
Sweet Caroline and...
Jump around.
What's the other one? Firefly.
Okay. Build
me up, Buttercup.
Okay, some Buttercup. Okay.
Build me up, Buttercup. Club.
Yeah, that sounds dirty, so stop. Then, at last night's game, you were excited for Bang on the Drum All Day, Jump Around, Roll Out the Barrel, as we heard. What were some other things?
The Pro Shop.
Pro Shop. Oh, we'll get to the Pro Shop.
Yeah.
Oh, and then
first and 10 Green Bay.
And
you love doing that.
And why were we late?
Oh, yeah, because
you guys were late.
No, because you had to house a drink before we went into the game. So then we end up getting in like 5 plays late to the game. Also because just it was
the
a
line
cluster,
was
you
nuts.
Know what?
You can't blame me for
it
that
was a
line.
Block.
We
it
left
was
30 minutes early for the game.
We think that the entrance to get students into Camp Randall is bad. This was horrible by Green Bay. It was awful.
You feel like Lambeau would have an idea of what they're doing.
Can I ask, what horrible. Time are you guys trying to walk into the stadium?
We, 3 o'clock?
Yeah. We're there right before before the half hour warning fireworks.
Yeah.
Cannonball,
we were on our way. We were had just gotten our passes and then from will call and then had to go back into the line to get through the security.
30 minutes you would think is more than enough time.
Oh, my God.
Really
it's just
dead
a block.
Because I was able to maneuver us closer because we were really far back. And I was like, all right, I'll go on a mission to find us, see if there's a better gate.
You were a line cutter?
Oh, hold on, Ryan.
Well, no, not a line cutter.
If there was a line that goes straight out from the gate and there was, you know, it's a sea of people.
Yep.
There was a road that came in from the side or like part of the parking lot
like
that came
merging.
From the sides. And, yeah,
like
it was
clowns,
like
lines merging.
Yeah, like, yeah, like zipper like merge.
We were
always going to let the zipper go.
We are getting out of the merging lane because it's going into a fully packed lane.
And this
lane.
Was not my intention.
So he didn't jump anybody. We just chose not to stand in that part of the line.
I did take advantage of a situation that there was a police car that was blocking a lot of people from being able to get to where I got to in line. I didn't cut in front of them, but because the police car was pulled up there, they were all behind the police car, but I was able to get in front of the police car and then probably saved like a half an hour off
the
way.
Yeah, you did.
Is you're someone who follows the fire truck going down the street with the sirens
on? 100%. It just happened to be there.
Exactly.
It happened to be there.
It worked out. Nicely.
Yeah, because my intention was to go to the front and see if it was faster to get in like the main entrance.
Because I would argue I did the most Packer fan thing you could and house a beer right before we go in. Like that,
yeah, but you did
pure
it at,
fandom
you
and
did
pure
it at the trio houses.
Well, it was right there.
True, the trio houses right there.
But the trio houses are right there, but everybody else was like literally they had their hands just like Karen Miller lights heading into the security thing.
I did not want to. I know you. I've seen it. I think it's probably frowned upon, but it's probably way too many people with roadies essentially walking beers to like enforce it. So I just chose to. Let's just house one, and I will follow the rules.
So let's get.
I didn't know if I could leave the trio house with one. I thought that might be a no-no. So I was just like, I'm just going to be a good teammate, a good representative of ESPN Madison.
All right. Okay, all right.
So let's get into the Packers pro
See,
shop
Matt,
thing,
Matt
right?
Matt was thinking in his professional mind, guys.
So, yes. Unfortunately, Matt still has to work.
He didn't want to be seen walking around looking unprofessional housing a Miller Lite in front of people.
We should set the stage that Matt was wearing the Bears hat that I got him.
Right.
And he was
I'm sure we have plenty of photos to post on the UT
and
Madison.
A Bears
or
vest.
The vest was hidden the whole game, fortunately. Yep. But yes. I did wear a Bears hat the whole time. Like winter hat.
Anyways, so Ryan, you tell us this. Matt decided to go to the Packers Pro Shop at halftime. He asked me if I wanted to go because he knows that I want to get a Micah Parsons jersey for my toddler. So that was very nice.
Quarterback,
so great teammate slash friend of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you know, I don't think you're going to get back in time for the game, and I really want to watch the game because this is a good game. Because at this point, it was what 14-10 or something. Like it was
14-3 at halftime.
Yeah. So no, was it 14-3? Okay, so,
wait,
so it's still
this,
a good game.
Was this during the third quarter or like during
no.
halftime?
This was like
I left
right
at halftime.
Yeah,
you left right,
left
at,
right at the beginning.
Almost immediately.
Of halftime.
But okay. Explain where the pro shop was to where.
But
we
the
were.
Packers pro shop was like directly across on the other side of the stadium than we were. Right.
Okay.
And like I don't think Lambeau has a lot of like the areas that you can just like
concourse.
Stop by to grab like a sweatshirt or anything like that. It doesn't seem like that. It seems like you can only go to the pro.
They have a couple of those spots, but.
You want the fancier
I wanted to go to the pro shop.
Yes, so he wanted to go to the pro shop.
That sweater you're wearing, the Green Bay Football Club, is pretty cool.
It is really sweet.
Thank you.
Goes together great with your fit today.
No, I can't wait.
You like the Chicago Bears colors. We get it.
I can't wait for you to get to your final take on this because I have a retort. So continue.
Okay.
Anyway, leave a halftime.
Anyways, Matt is not.
We have established that at the Badger game, Matt had no interest in the football.
No interest in football, and then ultimately no interest in marching band either.
No interest in Badger football. Weird.
Yeah, that's fair.
Shame on me.
That is somewhat fair.
They were playing a 21st ranked team.
They beat the top 20. I know, and I watched most of the game with you guys.
No.
You still left early.
It's very different being at a Packers game and if you're not locked into the game, I would say.
Yes, and also Packers football matters. Badger football, it's like this team's trash.
Okay.
All right,
until
ahead.
The third quarter.
So then, so then he went to the Packers Pro Shop.
So
halftime
half
is what
game.
20 minutes, right? He came back with like 2 minutes left in the third quarter. He missed the
Four
entire
minutes.
Third quarter.
To be fair, I only missed a Chicago touchdown, and I didn't actually miss it because
you
missed literally
them catching up.
TVs everywhere in the stadium,
yeah, but the,
and in the pro shop.
But you can watch the TV. From your couch at
I
home.
Know, but I also can't have that pro shop experience as part of going Lambo.
No, it's
but
not. That's
it
the thing. You're
Wait,
not a,
what?
Which is fine, but like, that's not what a football
but also,
fan says.
You
I missed
there.
One touchdown and I came back and was able to watch the entire fourth
you
quarter, watch the
do
win.
Do you go to every Packer game? Like, how many Packer games a year do you go to?
I try and get to like one or two.
Okay, exactly. So you'd want to soak in as a fan every bit of the actual game. Because the pro shop, I know this for
right,
a fact.
You're right. I'm here. I'm there for the environment.
The pro shop, I know this for a fact, is open year round.
It is. I've gone in the off season.
I'm not sticking around or going back up to Green Bay just to go to the pro shop. I'm in Green Bay. I am at Lambeau. Why would I?
So you are sacrificing your football watching
at the
game.
Was the pro shop empty when you went?
No.
Really?
No, there's people in there the entire
game. Oh my
game,
gosh!
I'm sure.
First of all,
it's gotta be
because it's the
we
worst if you go like
there.
Pregame because it's just packed.
So
it's
I could have
got there and back.
The fans were in their seats when I ran down to the pro shop and got my hoodie and came back up just so we're you know, fandom.
It's because there's no jerseys worth buying down there. Is all it is.
Mm-hmm. Sorry,
it's packed and all the concourses were super packed. And honestly, it was kind of hard to get back to our. Where we were at, like finding that
you're all
gate.
The way up.
But
yeah.
Molly predicted this. This was not a surprise.
No, I know she
yeah,
predicted.
I was like,
you knew the sacrifice.
As much
it wasn't
as I
like
want
you
the
Micah like,
Parsons
oh,
jersey.
I knew exactly what was going on. I knew I was going to miss some of the third quarter. I missed a lot more than I thought I would. But at the same time, I had a blast at the game. Like,
we didn't say you didn't have fun.
Of it
yeah,
was,
but you had fun because of all of the extracurricular things
I
that are made.
Three quarters
made,
of a football game.
That are
it was
made,
awesome.
These things are made for drunk people. and children.
I watched 75% of the football game, and that's fandom.
You had a great time, without a doubt. Nobody's questioned that. You had a great time at the Badger game, but you are not a fan.
Well, no, I'm not going to sit there and break down the play like you were to Molly after something good or bad happened to my team.
Don't. Thank you.
I was there enjoying three quarters of the game.
I didn't break down
and then I
the
got
play.
To do what I wanted
talk.
To do.
Molly knows the plays. Don't think I was mansplaining anything to Molly.
Did you see that throw from Caleb Williams? Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, I was trash talking.
That was Jordan Love. No, this was Jim the entire game. Oh, that should have been an interception.
Judgmental
Jordan
Jim.
Love. Oh, his he can only make a throw when his receivers are open.
That's my guy right there.
What are we doing?
That wasn't
Jim?
A clutch
yes,
throw.
Yes, that was my
it
impersonation.
It wasn't a clutch throw until Caleb Williams threw one. Now it's a clutch throw.
That was in the fourth quarter. He threw a fourth quarter touchdown. I was trying to say, is that a clutch throw from Caleb Williams? But they were not giving me that.
It's like, yeah, he's wide open. So Ryan could have made that pass.
Wait, the one he threw to Colston Loveland?
That, yeah.
Come on.
But that's a clutch play.
What?
He could have literally chest passed that to Loveland.
But Colston Loveland didn't even score that touchdown. Ben Johnson scored that touchdown by scheming him
Look,
wide
Caleb's
the heck open.
Ball handling was elite on
his
that play.
No, don't say
yeah, yeah. He picked it up. He turned his shoulders and he saw a guy who didn't have anyone within 8 yards.
Thanks for proving my point. You didn't watch the play because that's not what the play was.
It was a little outright. He went to the right.
It was a double fake and then he had to throw it over a player.
Oh, that was
so there is ball handling.
Throw it over a player. I mean, he lollipopped that thing. I mean, that's like a 500 ball. Get out. I mean, that was the easiest pass ever, Jim. Come on.
Okay.
Rick and Madison says, about time, Jim, that you finally rep the best team in the NFL. Brandon Tulsa says,
Molly.
What?
The Rams?
Brandon in Tulsa says, Molly, nice job on Jim's facial. Tommy DeForest says, I 100% Savage. Agree with the activities and things that Matt enjoys doing during a football game.
Nobody's saying those things are wrong. Nobody's saying Matt didn't have a great time. We're just saying that
I do
the
think
football is a ancillary benefit for Matt Hamilton when he goes to
I
a football
understand
game.
What, I understand Sport. What Matt is saying, though. Like, if there are certain things he really wants to take away from the game, like, Matt's an artifacts guy. He likes to have things he can hold for a memory. Uh-huh. Yes, he wants to have something that represents a memory that he can hold in his hands. Like, that is Matt Hamilton. He's wearing it today.
I got this at the Packer-Bear game. It's going to be something I remember every time I
remember
it up.
Okay, way more than he would remember the Christian Watson touchdown, which was sick by Jordan Love that Matt apparently never saw.
No, I saw. I was back for all the Packers scores. I only missed the Bears score.
As far as you know, Caleb Williams just had a terrible game.
As far as I was concerned, that was...
He's like, the first quarter was the only representation of Caleb Williams all night.
I literally watched the best version of the Packer game that anyone could have watched.
That is fair. The Packers were elite in the first... It was a classic Packers game. Their first half was awesome. The second half, they were outplayed by Chicago, but they obviously won the game. I mean, the part
that matters... Then they had the one drive in the fourth quarter where...
Packers scored when it mattered. It was like 18-7. I think Chicago outscored them in the second half. But the Packers got the win, and they're the better team, without a doubt.
It was 18-14.
What's that?
The Bears scored four more points than them.
Okay, so
half.
At one point it was
Packers
up 18-7.
Scored
gotcha.
11
yeah.
more than
gotcha.
Them in the first half.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Anyways, regardless.
Take that for data.
What's that?
Just the numbers.
That's no, at one point it was 18-7. I forgot the Packers got an extra touchdown in the second half. The Bears were up 18-7 in the fourth quarter points.
In the second half
before the touchdown.
Yeah, so that's why I just got lost. Because I was quoting.
He has to like turn the data to
know,
make it sound
no,
so
no, no,
Bears,
no, no.
Bears
what
favorite.
Are these?
it's ridiculous.
Ben Solak put it out. I must have just, it was timestamp wrong then. Or like I just didn't match the time up. Ben
Until
Solak said the Bears.
4 minutes left in the game. That was the correct number you gave.
It's not like the last 4 minutes.
Right, but
that was
okay.
Matter.
The 4 minutes matter. I'm saying that the Packers did the important part. They won the game. Yeah. Like, that's the part
on
that matters.
On a clutch drive by Jordan Love.
The Bears put themselves... Josh Jacobs.
Okay, he punched it in, but Jordan
punched
Love...
punched it in? Go look at the drive.
Wait, can Josh Jacobs get the ball without Jordan Love? No. Like the
play, that's some good ball handling. No, he took the ball from the center
and then handled it.
Hold on a second. No, Jordan Love played fantastic. I was surprised with how much they gave the ball to Josh Jacobs on that last drive. Because that Josh Jacobs was the driver, pun intended, of that drive. I mean, I know Jordan Love had some throws in there, but all
Jordan
I remember
Love
is Josh
had two passes in the fourth quarter.
Okay, so Jordan Love played fantastic.
Crazy.
He played an awesome game. But the closer of that game was Josh Jacobs, and that's a credit to LaFleur. I think he saw that the Bears were tired just like the Packers were. And Josh Jacobs, I think, made the play of the game.
which was when it was third down and two.
And he broke free.
He was stopped in the backfield. He broke free for 21 yards.
Oh, I'm that was that weird pitch where he cut it back up and the three Bears like collided. Yeah. And he somehow made it through that.
Obviously, Jordan Love, the player of the game, but the play of the game was Josh Jacobs.
For all Packers fans, that's not a play Emmanuel Wilson's going to make, guys.
Yes.
And let's really come to Jesus on this moment.
What?
Didn't you say something about Emmanuel Wilson?
Oh, yeah, just running into the back of his blocker is his favorite thing to do.
During the game.
General, that's just Emmanuel Wilson's M.O.
Are you an Emmanuel Wilson hater?
No, I'm not a hater. I just, like...
Might be his guy.
When people say that, they're like, oh, wow, Emmanuel Wilson's really good. If Josh Jacobs goes down, we'll be fine. I'm like, no.
If they don't have Josh
Jacobs... You need your lineman to be just as fast as your running back because he is, like, up that guy's jersey.
If they don't have Josh Jacobs, like Jim is saying, I agree. I don't think they win that game.
Chris from Manitowich Water says that's the difference between Packers fans and Bears fans during this rivalry. Bear fans only talk about plays from the game. Packers fans talk about the victory. Sorry, Jimbo. Still love ya.
Let's go.
Love with quotations.
I will say this.
You had to say
that's
that.
That's my guy right there.
I will say this. I do think this rivalry has staying power.
For sure.
The Packers obviously are going to be up there. The Packers are the better team. And the Packers are... What are you laughing at, Ryan?
Your face.
You're starting to make this serious point about the Packers-Bears rivalry. And all I can do is look at your face on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream.
You know what? I'll
share
it on the other side when we get into our poll question and all that. But I will share this last little... Speaking of the Packers, I could be mistaken for a Packers fan. And at the game...
You'd be mistaken for like a Packers prisoner, honestly. Right, true. You look like a hostage.
At the game, I had my jacket zipped up for a little bit, but then I unzipped it, but I had the Packer like
lanyard,
and some guy was talking to me. And I'm guessing he just left, like just he was going to leave anyways, but we're talking for a minute, and then like I point out Matt. Matt was after the Jordan Love interception, and I was giving Matt a hard time. And he's like, oh, but he's a Bears fan. I'm like, oh, he's not. This is what's going on. And then he sees my Walter Payton jersey. He goes, oh, you're a Bears fan. And I turn back to Matt talking. I turn back around, and the guy just left. Like, he was talking my ear off for the first whole part of the game. Like, man, this is so fun. I don't like standing here, but it's great. He's talking and talking and talking. And as soon as he found out I was a Bears fan, he just left. I don't know if it was coincidental or what, but he just disappeared off the face of the earth.
Matt, Molly, do you guys remember this guy at all?
Yes, no. I do. And because I specifically said... Hey, I'm a Packer fan. Like, ignore the bear hat. And Jim's like, no, he's not. No, he's not. He's a bear fan.
I did not see this guy, but Jim told me about it right away. So were you just trying to say that it was somebody in his imagination?
I was going
to
say maybe it was just a figment of Jim's mind.
No, he was real.
People like me. Start chatting me up. Yeah. People like me.
Until they found out you're a Bears fan.
Right. Yeah. And they just disappear.
Until they learn a little more.
Yes. We'll learn more about the people who are around us. At the game. Because that also had a lot of Matt's attention when we talked about
it. It did have a lot of Matt's attention.
Yes, yes.
Yours too.
Tyler Hero was near us for the game.
Yeah.
Not really, but someone doing their best Tyler Hero off the basketball court impersonation there. But Chalmers Jewelers in Madison and in Middleton, they are Madison's custom jeweler. They are Madison's locally owned jeweler, and they are Madison's family-owned jeweler, Chalmers Jewelers in Madison and in Middleton. Look, check them out. This holiday season, a perfect gift. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly.
The Barry Alvarez Show, live from Ruth's Chris Steakhouse with Jesse Nelson, Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, Barry Alvarez.
Amen.
Amen, Bear.
So you
Amen,
can tell Derek. Rutledge that.
Amen, Molly.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Molly, what is bothering you about this place? Why are you getting so sweaty?
Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube. You're listening to the best of Jim, Matt, and Molly on ESPN Madison. Find the podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get podcasts. And subscribe to ESPN Madison on YouTube for live shows every day.
It is our number two of Jim, Matt, and Molly. And I know what you're thinking. Where the heck is Jim Rutledge? He was just here a little bit ago. He is here.
What?
But since I was lucky enough to sit down with Mike Daniels earlier this week alongside Matt Hamilton, we figured out, you know what? I'll bring in the show because why not? We are presented by Coors Light. Ryan, if the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush a Coors Light.
We will get into the Mike Daniels interview here shortly, but I just want to congratulate Mitch and Stoughton for being the winner of the Miller High Life giveaway that we just did recently. So congrats to Mitch, but... I'm looking forward to you guys hearing this interview that we had with Mike Daniels earlier. Mike Daniels, perfect week to have him on. Former Iowa Hawkeye, former Green Bay Packer, and former Cincinnati Bengal. So we really planned this out this week. Right, Ryan? We did pretty good here planning some show stuff.
We should probably give the credit to Matt Hamilton on this one, right? He did kind of push it this week and reminded us even that this was the week to talk to Mike Daniels.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to take credit for it because I came up.
Oh.
Well, okay, so Matt had the idea of talking to Mike Daniels.
That's
I
true.
Will say, yep. He has the connection, obviously. Matt is a celebrity on the show. He has all the celebrity friends. He's mm-hmm. the cool guy. Mm-hmm. He's the golden retriever, all the things,
cool.
right? But he forgot that Mike Daniels played for the Iowa Hawkeyes, where, like, in my mind, I almost think of Mike Daniels, Iowa, before I think of Mike Daniels, Green Bay. Like, that's kind of where my
wow.
mind goes. Yeah, I know. So I had the idea of bringing him on, especially then when I saw that he was on the Cincinnati Bengals as well, because I think I forgot that little tidbit after he left the Green Bay Packers.
It's
so.
Such a funny little, like, footnote in his career. He
yep.
even mentions in the interview, like, he was brought in as, like, the wise veteran for the Bengals, right? Like,
totally.
The 2 years where he was there, and he played on their Super Bowl team, which, like,
crazy.
Everyone memory hold that.
And Ryan, I do just have to say, I know that we didn't record this, but I have to laugh about your interaction that we had with him before.
That was good.
As you were like, I've been a fan of you since I was 10 years old. Like, you were starstruck, which was amazing.
And then I think he was kind of upset the fact that he has fans who were 10 years old 15
True.
Years ago. I think that
exactly.
kind of hit him like a ton of bricks.
Yep,
a little
as
bit.
It would.
Yeah.
It would, me too.
Yeah.
But I do want you guys to hear this. I'm so excited for you to hear this conversation. He was great. Honestly, he was fantastic. But if you miss any of the conversation, or if you just don't have time to listen to the full thing right now, be sure to head over to our YouTube page on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, as you can watch the entire interview. So without further ado, let's hear from Mike Daniels.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. Molly Brown and Matt Hamilton hanging out with you. And we are delighted to be joined by former Green Bay Packer, former Iowa Hawkeye, sorry Badger fans, and former Cincinnati Bengal. So what a week to have him on. Mike Daniels, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Awesome.
I made the joke because obviously, you know, it's kind of like the perfect week to have you on. I don't know if we like intentionally planned this. Kind of, sort of. I don't know. I'll leave that to Matt. But
when we saw, like, oh, the Packers play the Bengals, I was like, Mike Daniels. And then Molly's like, oh, my gosh, the Badgers play the Hawkeyes that same weekend. So
yep.
That's when it was like a slam dunk. We had to get you on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. That you don't get more perfect than that. And I have a lot to say about both. So let's get into it.
Which one would you rather start with, Matt? I'll leave it to you. Would you rather go Packers, or do you want to talk Iowa Hawkeyes and Badgers?
Well, I mean, obviously the Badgers are in a sad state of affairs right now, but the Badgers are just like clinging on to any team or any game where we think we might be able to get a win. I think the Badgers can beat the Hawkeyes. I'm curious, what do you think? Do you think the Badgers have a crack? And tell me a little bit about
you
that
guys. You guys are losing. You guys are losing. It's just, I don't care like what the records are. You guys are losing, and I'm just going to stick with that. But that rivalry is historic. Particularly me being a kid from South Jersey who went to Iowa, and there is such a great history of players from my area who, in my area, within like, you know, a 20-mile radius. You know what I mean? Who went to either Iowa or Wisconsin? Like my dad has friends who went and played at Wisconsin. You know what I mean? And so that was, in fact, there was a couple South Jersey guys on Wisconsin when I played at Iowa. So that's always been a thing. You know, you look at some of the better players. Ron Dane, I mean, he grew up a few miles down the road from where I grew up. You know, then Sean Green at Iowa, the same way, but another direction. You know, or excuse me, a little, yeah, the other direction. You know, Jonathan Taylor, Corey Clement, myself, Albert Young, like there's always been a lot of good players from our areas that went to both schools. So that just goes to show that both schools, they mirror each other. It's that 2 yards in a cloud of dust football. That ain't never changed, and I don't care how much they spread the game out. And they recruit the same. They, train very similarly. And it's just an old school football game when those two teams play. So for guys like me, I love watching it. For everybody else, they get bored to sleep, but I don't care, you know. And it was always an interesting week being a Packer when the Badgers played the Hawkeyes. You know what I mean? So it's like, Mike, we love you, except for during these 3 hours. Then we hate your guts. And after that, we love you again because we need to win tomorrow, you know. So that's it's an awesome awesome rivalry.
I was actually just in Iowa City this past weekend celebrating my grandma's birthday because my whole family's from Iowa. But have you gone back to Iowa City recently? Like, do you still go back to different games and stuff and be like the honorary captain, anything like that?
Yeah, so I was an honorary captain over a decade ago, actually. So,
oh my God.
But yeah, but I do go back. My wife's from Iowa City, so we do visit. And the last time I was there, we played Michigan State. And I was told by Coach Ferentz while I'm visiting practice, hey, man, Mike, do you want to address the team? So he always finds a way to get me to speak to the guys, and I love it. I love it, you know, and it was a big win for us. And it's interesting, speaking, now you mentioned Iowa City, you know, that and Madison are like mirror towns, you know, like this, both the programs are extremely, extremely similar. And that game always has a bright spot and a tough spot in my heart because the year they added Nebraska to the Big Ten was like the first time, I think in almost forever, that Iowa and Wisconsin didn't play. And the part that sucked about it for me was that we lost the trophy my first year, then we went and got it back my second year. Third year, we maintained it. And then in my fourth year, my redshirt junior year, we lost it at the end of the game and they stormed the field and took it. I said, I'm getting that trophy back next year. And then wouldn't you know it, when the schedule came out, oh, we're adding Nebraska. You guys are playing Nebraska the day after Thanksgiving. And I'm like, where's the Wisconsin game at? I know it's a red and white team, but it ain't the red and white team I want. I want Wisconsin. I want to go and get my trophy back. Let me go sack Russell Wilson. Oh, I was hurt. I was hurt, man. I'll never forget that.
Well, before we pivot to Packers, where are you at now, and what have you been up to for the last couple of years?
So, back home in my native South Jersey, you know, the greater Philadelphia area, to be exact. Right now, I'm coaching. You know, my brother, he head coaches at our high school, and I'm his defensive line coach. So, I also coach eighth grade football and my son's team. So, you know, I coach in the town of the high school. So, we're creating a feeder program with the eighth graders to get to the high school, you know, and kind of creating that pipeline, developing these guys at a young age. And then now it's like you get to high school, still with the development. So it's like guys have been coached by professionals for, I mean, I say professionals because I'm the only one, but coached by professionals and taught the game from like sixth grade up until, you know, when they graduate high school. So if you take a kid who I might have had since he was 11, by the time he's 16, he's going to be so much more technically sound than anybody he plays against. And that's what's going to set him apart from others.
Totally. I do actually just want to bounce back to Iowa, Wisconsin, though. Like, so how the season has been going for Wisconsin football, and honestly, just the future of the program just doesn't look great. It looks like they're going to be years away from being a competitive football team, in my opinion. Like, as a player, what can a coach say? And I know you said the Kurt Ferentz brought you in to talk to the team ahead of the Michigan State game. Like, what can a coach and the players do in order to rally a team when it's in the state that they are right now, where it just feels like they have nothing to play for?
I think, so honestly, it's almost hard because of, with the transfer portal and NIL deals, you're seeing teams like, excuse me, Indiana, you know, SMU, like being considered legitimate competitors. And that's really has shaken up college football now, you know. So to get a coach to come in, or somebody coming to rile the guys up, you don't know. Like, you got some guys that could be sitting there like, man, I'm gone after this season. You know, it's like the pros all over again, realistically, right? You might have guys that are like, hey, I'm going to go here for like a year or two, get rolling, and then I might go somewhere that's a little more appealing, or somewhere, or I might get offered a better deal somewhere else. So when I spoke to the team, they were like, that stuff was all new. So it was still like a lot of just like kids who were legitimately like, we want to be here, right? I guess the best thing to say is make the most of the chance you have. We understand some of you guys might transfer. Some of you guys might have transferred in. Some of you guys might want to get a bigger contract. Well, here's the deal. That only happens when you play well right now, right? So, you know, you got to meet them where they're at. There's a lot of different incentives now. You might just want to kind of put that in their face. It's like, if you want this, well, this is what you have to do to get this, right? Yeah. And I think that's when, that's how you speak to today's youth now, right? Because the way that, I mean, gosh, it's in high school and youth football now. You don't play where you lay anymore. Everybody's going every which way now, you know? And my words have been, if you want to be, you know, highly sought out, highly sought after for your next team, then you better get it done now, right? Unfortunately, you have to, you know, kind of speak to the reality of it. But I tell guys straight up, if you think you're going to transfer out of here and go somewhere better, it ain't going to happen if you're playing like garbage.
Right. Yeah, no doubt.
See what I mean? And now here's how, like, it's the reverse of a catch-22, because now if the guys are playing well, oh, perfect. Now that'll make people want to come to Wisconsin. You see what I'm saying? Because Wisconsin's winning, right? If they're not playing well, you tell them, don't think you're going to leave and go somewhere else because nobody's going to want you because you were a contributor to a horrible team. So if you want to go somewhere else, get a bigger contract, bigger NIL deal, you need to perform well where you are at. And then now you're not afraid of those kids leaving because now you'll have more kids wanting to be like, you know what, let me go to Wisconsin. They're kicking, you know, they're getting it done over there.
This is Jim, Matt, Molly. We're presented by Coors Light. We're talking with former Green Bay Packer Mike Daniels. So I guess I just want to know, like, what went through your mind when you found out that the Packers picked up Micah Parsons, number one? And two, like, what do you think about this defensive line that they have now?
When they picked up Micah Parsons, I instantly said, I would hate to be Kenny. Because now, it's one thing I've noticed whenever a beloved Packer is either released, traded, whatever, there's a legit mourning period. Like, dang, we really missed so-and-so. Dang, so-and-so could have helped. I saw in that NFC Championship game versus the 49ers, when they ran for like 400 yards, my name was blowing up on social media. I'm getting all these mentions like, oh, we really could have used Mike right there, whether he was hurt or not, just to plug the gap, you know? And with Kenny being going, it's like, hey, Kenny, thanks, bye. Oh my God, we got Micah Parsons. This is so great. And I'm like, that would suck. Like, yo, that would suck as a player. You're giving your all to a place 10 years. This is his 10th year, but he was there for 10 camps, you know. And now everybody's celebrating you being gone, right?
Right.
And there's not someone celebrating you being gone, but they're celebrating who was brought in. So now it's like, you're just chopped liver. You're cast off to the side. Like, no, well, whatever. We lost Kenny, but we got Mike. Oh, my God, it's so great. So that's the first thing that went on through my mind as a player because I'm like, dang, like, that can be a tough thing. And mentally, as a player, those are the type of things we deal with that nobody talks about, right? As far as what the Packers gained, well, the Cowboys gained a very motivated player. The Packers, what they gained was – a generational talent. I watched Micah Parsons come in from being a undersized blitzing linebacker to turning into a jacked true defensive end who not only just runs the passer, but he also plays the run and he gets physical. And he just looks like he looks scary now. He ain't looked scary the first year. He looks scary now. You know what I mean? And like, that's like that big free agent, defensive free agent signing that's like in lieu of like Reggie White or Woodson. And with Micah having the success he's had as a player, you know, you don't want to say he's a Hall of Famer yet. Obviously, he's so young. But when it's all said and done, that'll be part of that major defensive free agency move, you know, we made as an organization in Green Bay. And I said this. So I had a friend actually say this to me because their Super Bowl window has gotten, it's opened up. And I had a friend say this to me. He said, and this is like 2018, right? And I think it was actually after McCarthy got fired. He said, yeah, you guys ain't going back to the Super Bowl till Aaron's gone. And I said, what? I said, are you high? And whatever you're smoking, please get it away from the public because it might kill somebody, right? And he said, no. And he explained it to me. He said, sometimes when a player or a voice is somewhere so long, it gets a little stagnant and stale. Now, I think, you know, he's saying it because he might have read an article where they said that about McCarthy, right? But when I looked back, when I started to see what he was talking about, because at that point in time, all the Aaron guys, they're, you know, they started to see like, oh, his coach is gone now. All right. Like, I'm not too familiar, but how many great quarterbacks has had to have a coaching change and still had a lot of success post-coaching change, right? Drew had Peyton, Tom had Bill, you know. I don't see Harbaugh leaving with Lamar. Say what you want about Zach Taylor, but Zach works very well with Joe Burrow. You see what I mean? Like, those are important relationships, Russell and Pete, right? You see what I'm saying? Those, a lot of people give quarterbacks the credit as they should, right? But that head coach and quarterback connection, even if it's a defensive head coach, as we saw with Belichick, that actually means something. Or even Pete Carroll's defensive head coach, it means something. So once the head coach was gone, well, it was only a matter of time before Aaron going out. It still took some time, but look at all the postseason turmoil that happened, all the offseason stuff. Aaron ain't never did none of that stuff. And think about it. He showed all the OTA workouts. There was no darkness retreat. There was none of that stuff. None of that stuff existed.
Hey, Watts, good.
Yeah, think about it. Now McCarthy's gone, and now we're getting this, we're getting that, we're getting this. And I'm just saying, sometimes when things are just going the way they're going, it's better when it stays that way. Once one party leaves, either the quarterback or the head coach, now we're going to see some, you know, some stuff. And that's what you saw in Green Bay. Now that, you know, Love is in the driver's seat now, you see a different energy, right? And all of Aaron's guys were gone by the time he left. Yeah. All of his guys were gone. And you get to a certain point where you're just so old, quote unquote, that the new guys coming in, it's just different. You know what I mean? Like, Aaron was in year 9 when I got in, but he was still there a long time. Like, he was in his 5th year starting, maybe. And so me and all these other guys were still part of that Ted Thompson drafting group, the McCarthy group. Like, we're still considered part of that. All those guys are gone, and now it's like, you know what? These aren't even his guys anymore. These, if anything, are Jordan's guys, because Jordan relates to him a little more. See what I mean? These are his guys, you know? So now Parsons comes in. That just boosts it more. Got Halfley, who his scheme, we've always been built for his type of scheme. This is just the type of defensive lineman they brought in. We're always built for that type of scheme. And the energy is just different. It's like brash. It's loud. It's like hot. You know, it's not like traditional Packers, if you get what I'm saying, right? And I think that's what's going to put them over the top. And now Micah Parsons fits right in with that. And the energy is electric. I'm watching that defense. I'm watching the defensive line. I mean, those guys are playing the way that I've always said, why don't we play this way? You see what I mean? But Halfley encourages that. LaFleur encourages that. They want that style of play. And now that's what's happening. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Was there ever like a point in your career where the Packers and the Bengals brought in a player, not necessarily like Micah Parsons, because like you just said, he's a generational talent. Like, that is the once in a lifetime kind of guy. But like, was there ever any player that was brought in that you were like, oh man, like they're wanting us to win. Like, they're going for it.
Julius Peppers for certain.
Oh yeah.
And you know, I would go ahead and say, granted, you should have, I think we should have kept Jared Cook, you know, but you can even say with Martellus Bennett and Jimmy Graham, you know, heck, you say Jared Cook, Martellus Bennett, Jimmy Graham, 3 years in a row, they were looking for like that immediate target, that big body threat tight end, right? Because we had all the receivers on the planet. So it's like they were really trying to finish the circle of the offense. We had an all pro at every position. You know, we had to finish the circle of the offense, and that was it. And so between seeing when they brought in Julius into those three tight ends, I'm like, the Packers were always in a win now mode. Always. You get what I'm saying? But Julius Peppers might have been the biggest one for me. And granted, he was at, you could say he was at the end of his rope, but he played two more seasons in Carolina and still, like, got top five in sacks, I believe, after those two seasons, if I'm not mistaken. Or might have been one season, to, you know, don't quote me. But when they brought him in, that was like that jaw-dropping moment. Like, wow, we just bought a grown man in here. We just bought a grown man in here.
Yeah, for sure. Do you ever think that that, like, win-now mentality is detrimental to the Packers? Like, they always seem to be in the mix, but very rarely, I feel like, at least in the last window since the last Super Bowl, they've been like, this team is definitely, like, going to win. Like, I guess there was a couple years with Rodgers being the MVP, the Packers were pretty elite, but I feel like if you don't have that full kind of, like, rebuild year, you don't necessarily get the high draft picks. The Packers always just try and stay relevant, so I feel like sometimes they just live in that 10-5 best team in the league kind of thing. Is that detrimental, or do you think that's, like, the right path?
Well, New England, I don't think they've ever drafted within the first 2 hours of the first round of the draft. You get what I'm saying? For a long time. And on the flip side, you look at, like, Cleveland, who at one point had three first-round picks, you know, and a couple times they had more than one. So I don't think that's as detrimental as it seems. I think where Green Bay will really get, like, their – get, like, that boost is by bringing in the Micah Parsons. They went and got Josh Jacobs, you know. Granted, they had to unfortunately let Aaron go for that, but you know, you draft a first round receiver for the first time. Like, they're doing these things that's giving energy to the fan base and to the players and to the coaching staff. And that's where I think, that's where we're going to really see this thing turn around, is by, because we're bringing those guys in. So that win now mentality, I don't think it hurts the way it seems.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I mean, coaches, players got to play.
Yeah. Mike, before we let you go, rapid fire, what's going to be your score prediction for the Iowa-Wisconsin game, and what's your score prediction for Bengals and Packers?
Yeah, Iowa-Wisconsin, 14-7, 14-10, very boring game, low scoring, a lot of defense. Packers-Bengals, oh gosh, you just called me. Yeah, well.
They've done in games that they shouldn't have lost the last season.
Yeah, I know. I think the Packers are a little upset right now, so they're going to come out guns a-blazing against a team that's they're whirlwinding right now, you know. So I definitely see the Packers, you know, like 24-10. You know, I think the defense is going to overwhelm the Bengals. I could be wrong, whatever. Hey, Evan, I'll throw it out there. Defense, I think they're going to really give the Bengals some issues. I think the Bengals defense is going to come out hot. And once the Packers get rolling, eventually the Bengals defense is going to get worn down, because the Packers defense is going to keep the Bengals defense on the field, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, totally. Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Mike. We appreciate you taking the time to talk with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
Good luck coaching out there.
Thank you. Thank you. That's why I don't have a voice now.
Fair enough.
Right.
See you later.
Later.
You're listening to the best of Jim, Matt, and Molly on ESPN Madison. Find the podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get podcasts. And subscribe to ESPN Madison on YouTube for live shows every day.
Welcome back to Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors Light. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Molly Brown and Olympic gold medalist Matt Hamilton. We are thrilled to be joined by D.L. Hewley, who is coming to Comedy on State. MadisonComedy.com is the website. Obviously, DL, most known probably from the original Kings of Comedy. I remember the show, The Hewleys, watching that as a kid growing up. So I love that one. DL, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you for making me feel old. Thank you for making me feel old.
Well, DL, I just learned the other day that my co-host Molly here, that my cell phone number is older than she is. So I had it happen to me yesterday.
Hey, fellas, we going the wrong direction here. This is all going the wrong direction.
Agreed.
No, thank you for taking the time for joining us. And I want to ask you about Madison and everything else, but we have Matt Hamilton here, and he's a local celebrity. He won a gold medal with curling. What Olympics was it? The 2018 Olympics. Kind of got a Did you follow the curling? Did you follow the Olympics at all during that?
Well, let me just say, Winter Olympics ain't really that thing. Black people, we good at stuff. You learn how to do free at the park. If you can learn it for free, a brother gonna win a medal in it. Like I'm pretty sure the brother too can throw a javelin. The police just won't let him walk down the street with a spear. But other than that, I remember the Jamaicans almost did something, but that was from pushing a car. You know, yeah. So it was But I watched the Olympics. The curling with the sweep and the, I don't get what it is. My father, I thought he was curling, but it turns out he was just a janitor at school.
My fallback. if curling doesn't work out for me anymore, I'm going to end up sweeping the halls here at the studio.
Something tells me with the way things are going, there'll be a lot of openings these days. Thank you, guys, man. You saved me. I was getting my ass whipped in golf by Smokey Robinson. It was ridiculous.
Matt golfs too. Oh my goodness.
Hold on. That whole sentence threw me off a ton.
Yeah.
So the Smokey Robinson.
I was playing
Robinson.
Golf with Smokey Robinson.
No, the other one. What do you think he's talking about?
Sure. I just want to. We're just setting it up. Like, that's a big name drop there.
Yeah.
So, yes. And he was beating you at 85 years old?
And not even like he hits the ball I probably hit it about 250, 260 off the tee, but he is like 220 right down the middle, putts lights out, and we were playing. I was down $400, and then I had to go all of a sudden. So thank you, fellas. I appreciate it.
No problem. I should keep you guys on retainer.
I'm going to climb my ass. I'm getting out of here.
Yeah, I'm going to keep these guys on retainer and be like, oh, I got to record a segment. Sorry, I can't finish this round.
Sorry.
That is a clever out. I'm going to borrow that.
In general, are you a good golfer?
I don't think he buys me. He's outside my car now. I think he buys me. He's outside my car.
are you a good golfer in general?
You know, I used to play a lot, and today I was probably shot an 85.
That's a fine round.
I think he was even.
Wow.
That's when you got to tell him he's got to move back. No more playing the senior tees. Time to play back in the men's tees.
Man. It's a couple of times. Like he said, I lost my phone, and I really have it, and I'm going to sell it for $400. So, that's what he gets. That's what he gets. But, yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was like 80 degrees. What is it? 80. It was 80 degrees when we started. One thing about playing with a dude, 85, now he going to hit the ball straight, but it's going to take a long time to do it. We started yesterday.
DL, you're coming to Madison Comedy on State. MadisonComedy.com is the site. I see Saturday, Sunday. Tickets are available. You said it's 80-something. I hate to tell you, there's going to be snow and not quite as warm up here. How do you handle that?
You know, the last time I was in Madison, I forgot where I stayed, but it was one of the most picturesque cities I'd ever. It looks like a, I don't know if it looked like a French chalet. It was beautiful, but it was probably about I don't know, about 50, 60. I mean, we were at this hole, and it was water. It was gorgeous. So it was a warm day for you guys. So I guess it was 45, 50. But, yeah. You know, a lot of people have these things. Like, I think the Midwest is the coldest place on the planet. It's, like, mm-hmm. freezing all the time. So, and my daughter used to go to school in Madison. So, you know, I didn't drop her off at school because it was too cold for me. But I paid the tuition, so we eat.
That's awesome.
I don't want to make you feel too old, but Scary Movie 3 is honestly one of my favorite movies ever. I don't know if you've heard that from many people before, but...
Yes.
Okay, that movie came out in 2003, which makes me feel old because I feel like I've seen it about 150 times. But just...
How old were you when you first saw it then?
Do you want me to make you feel old? Because I'll tell you. I was six. I was six when that movie came out.
Wow.
It's okay. Actually, just pulling back the curtain.
Well, I was 23, so.
Yeah. That is a movie that made me like scared of Michael Jackson. I don't know if that. I don't know. That, just that part of like him falling out of the. We all seen Scary Movie 3. It's fine. Yeah. But just looking at all.
Oh, that's what did it, huh? Yeah. That's the thing.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Listen, not he was a great singer, but obviously he was a horrible babysitter. Let's just say that. He was a great singer, but a horrible babysitter.
That is not where I was going. pivoting. Just looking at all the different things that you've done throughout your career, like what has been your favorite project that you've been a part of?
I think The Kings of Comedy was one of my favorites. I mean, Scary Movie I liked a lot because Charlie Sheen, I got to work on that movie with Charlie Sheen. And I remember I was writing a special then, and I remember writing this joke, and I said, I want Charlie Sheen and Whitney Houston to do a sitcom called 2.5 Grams. And and he didn't like the game. But it was I've gotten a chance to do a lot of things that I've really I'm blessed to be able to do what I dig. And one of the things I was really shocked by, because the first time I'd ever played the club was probably it was last year and a half or so. And I just, you know, you think it's just a small college town, but it was one of the best audiences I'd been around in a long time. So I'm looking forward to get back. Plus, the people that own the club are just first class. So it's just I'm excited to get back there.
So as Molly said, you've had this vast career. I see writer, you've been on CNN, a comic, all sorts of different things. When did you know that you were able to do all this stuff? Like, at what point in your life you're like, this is my calling?
You know what? When I didn't want to get, my mother said, you're going to think you're going to BS your way through life? And I went, yeah, I think I will. And I think that you never really know, but I think that I have, when I talk to people and we kind of go over the resume, it's almost like in the rearview mirror. Like I was there's a lot of fun when I did it. And, you know, obviously I enjoyed it, but, it's like a wedding photo. You just take it out once in a while, but I never really think about it. I'm kind of on to the next thing. Like I'm writing a book now that'll be out, I guess in the spring, and it's, Charlie's Boy, Ode to a Black Father. So I kind of just get to do what I want. I do radio all the time. I tour all the time. So it's just, I love what I do. I really love being out there. And I think the stakes are so high right now. There's so little to laugh about.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, like everybody's mad at Bad Bunny. Like, I hope he doesn't say anything in English. Because I don't. Like, because all we do during the Super Bowl is you're not going to hear Bad Bunny Spanish or the sound of your crunching nachos. And, like, that's, like, everybody's like, I can't understand Bad Bunny. I can't understand RFK, so we even. So, I think anytime a dude who did, he did heroin for 15 years, going to tell you that Tylenol is bad for you. Like, you better watch what you put in your body. Like, I'm like, but I think it's just so, the stakes are so... everything is so, I think, crucial right now. Like, I think out of all the things, and one thing I am worried about is traveling. I think if I wasn't going to pay anybody else, I'd pay air traffic controllers. Because all they got to do is pretend like they don't see you. All they got to do is go, oh, I didn't see that plane.
Right. Yeah. So, Matt, enjoy your flight.
But it's just,
exactly.
And Jim, enjoy your flight next week, too. Have fun.
Yes.
Kind of what you're saying there, obviously, the stand-up comedian, you've done a lot of different things. You've spoken at the Democratic National Convention, too. So how do you walk the line of they're very serious and awful things going on in the country, but also it's very healing to laugh at it? So how do you, and you do a great job of it, of walk those lines of touching on issues, but also being fun about it?
I just kind of do what it is. I make red cups. If you want red cups, I got them. If you don't, I understand. But I just do what it is I do. And you know, even if I do something for somebody, they understand that I'm going to be who I am. And so I don't have that mechanism where I kind of go, this is what I do. This is, you know, if you want me to do it there, then that's going to be something that you have to take the risk with. But I love getting on stage. I do love that now everything is so turbulent. People, the stakes are really high and people are, you know, on edge. Like, this whole Snap thing, there might not have been, like, I don't think a lot of people knew how many white people was on Snap. Like, there might not have been,
you're right,
there might not have been this many hungry white people at Thanksgiving since the Pilgrims. So I think that we just have this confluence of things that are happening, and you know, I think the ability to laugh and to see the irony in them is important. And I think one of the things that comedy does, and I think to me the only art form that's capable of doing it day to day, I mean, you know, time to date, is comedy. And I think it's one of the last pure, I think, art forms where, yeah, the stand-up experience and the, you know, that experience is tailor-made to whatever audience you're dealing with that time.
If you're enjoying D.L. Hughley as much as we are, again, Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com is the site. There are tickets available for Saturday and two shows on Sunday, so you can go pick up some tickets and see D.L. in person. You said earlier you're golfing with Smokey Robinson. Who is the most famous, or the person that gave you the most, like, wow, like, I can't believe I'm just...
Your holy bleep moment.
Not met, but like you're actually friends with that you never thought you'd be friends with.
Well, two things. Once we were playing a gig, and it was when Charlie Murphy was alive. Mm-hmm. And we were playing the Forum. It was me, George Lopez, Sid the Entertainer, and Eddie Griffin. We were playing the Forum. And I went into Charlie's room to say hi. And I see all these leggy blondes on the couch. And I'm like, that's not Charlie Stout. And out comes... I look around and Eddie Murphy comes out and he's drying his hand. I'm like, oh! And I said, who's the girl screaming? And it was me. Like, I didn't. The sound came out of. And the other one, I remember when I was playing golf another time. I was playing at this my country club, and I was playing with this guy. He was walking. We started playing together, because you know how sometimes you'll have a tee time. They put me out together with it. And about the 11th hole, I went, hey. And it was Matthew McConaughey, and I played with him 11 holes before.
Well, not to...
I think it was the weed.
Well, Matt, I mean, obviously, DL, you guys won't overlap here in Madison, but I feel like you guys should connect, because Matt loves to take people curling, and he's a big-time golfer. So if you
Absolutely.
Man, come on now.
Yeah, if you ever want to try curling...
And I'm not
going
to play with a dude that curling.
I don't blame you for that. Ice is not forgiving, but the golf course can be. You said you remember. Where do you remember?
Calabasas.
Ooh.
That's not where I played today, though.
Okay.
No, that's not where I played today. But yeah, I'm a member of Calabasas. So
if I ever make it out to LA, I'm gonna hit you up.
Just hang out with the Kardashians.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. For sure. It's. When I started playing just because everybody plays, like everybody. But the thing I love about this guy, who did I play with? Somebody who was an Olympian. What did he play? It was somebody we played with that was Olympian. What was he? But it was a Winter Olympics, so I didn't, you know.
Have you ever had any like on stage experiences where the crowd is just not reacting how like you wanted to? Like, I just picture,
sure.
I think that just stand up seems like one of the hardest jobs, because I would be like crawling into my shell if people weren't laughing at my jokes.
But you know what it is? I think that when you've been around for a long enough time, you have to take with the guy. I think it's arrogant to believe that you know when they're going to laugh and how they're supposed to. I mean, obviously, if you have done it long enough, you kind of know where the creases are. But it's arrogant to believe that every audience feels the same way and that they all have the same temperament. So I literally just kind of take it as it comes. So it, I don't take it. I've been around long enough where I know what to do if things aren't going my way. But I'm not, you know, I think that there are no such thing as audiences that aren't great. I think it's just sometimes you're not kind of hitting the notes you'd like to. But every time I get out there, there's something. I can say honestly, every time I've ever been on stage, I remember something about that audience every time I've ever performed.
Whether it's awesome.
The way somebody laughed or what I wore or what I drank or what I remember something about every single, and I probably have done it 20,000-30,000 times. And that's how connected it is to me. That's how it's very cathartic to me. So I'm just glad to be out there. And so I don't take it to, I try not to take it so personal.
So, yeah, make yourself one of D.L. Hewley's memories by going to Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com, and Saturday and Sunday shows
available.
It won't
be as good as the curling memory. It won't be as good as the curling
memory. D.L., thank you so much for being so generous with your time. You made us laugh very hard. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I'll see y'all soon, man.
All right,
we'll see you later.
Thank you.
Thanks, D.L.
Thank you.
That was D.L. Hewley on Jim, Matt, and Molly. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Molly Brown and Matt Hamilton.